You're listening to Flight Test Podcast Episode 9. Hi, and welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. If you're into scratch building, FPV flying, radio control planes, helis, multi-rotors, this podcast is for you.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Podcast 9. Today, we have four people here for our podcast. I'm Austin.
I'm Josh Bixler.
I'm Alex Zavada.
And I'm Chad Capper.
Today, we're going to be talking about 2013 in review. As many of you know, a lot has happened with Flight Test in 2013. 2013 was
a lot of great things.
Yeah, 2013 was a pretty cool year for Flight Test. So we're just going to kind of reflect on that a little bit, on the different aspects of things that changed and grew and
the problem
broke.
Is the last 3 years have kind of blended together for me, so.
Yeah, right. So separating them out should be interesting. But yes.
Well, and also just to cap this off, this is 99.9999% because of you guys. So thank you from all our hearts. You made this possible for us.
Oh, you're talking to the audience.
Yeah, correct? To the audience. Not the guy. The guys here are the benefactors from you guys.
Yes.
Including myself.
All right. So, and we do have Alex here.
Hello.
You heard him say Alex. So he's, as you notice, he's becoming more and more a part of this. And actually, why not kick off by talking about what you guys are doing this week?
What's that?
You and Chris.
Chris's new podcast. Yeah, we're going to be doing another podcast so we can kind of almost get like a weekly thing between the Flight Test Podcast and then this new podcast that we're doing.
Almost.
Yeah, I guess it will be.
It'll be technically weekly.
Hopefully.
Yes. Hopefully.
But yeah, it's just going to be a little bit more freeform, just talk about anything. Chris wants to leave it pretty open and just kind of make it up as we go. So we'll see how it goes.
That'll be fun. I'm actually really excited to hear it, so. I won't be here, I don't think, so I'm going to hear it when it airs, probably.
That's cool.
Nice.
So what are we talking about today?
Yeah, a couple things we want to talk about. I'm having trouble pulling up my notes, but we'll get there eventually. Essentially, is we want to talk about the store. Store is something that did not exist until 2013.
Mm-hmm. February, Valentine's Day, wasn't
it? February 14th, my dad's birthday. Yeah,
that's too funny.
We went live.
We've also made a lot of progress in the web show and some different things that we do with the web show, beginner series, for instance, and the way we approach some reviews and that different sort of thing. So be cool to talk about that. Of course, the podcast is new. Just the standard Flight Test Podcast is new for 2013. And then we want to kind of look ahead and wildly speculate about 2014.
Great.
So should
dream.
We should dream big. Dream
yes.
Big, so
yeah.
So first, I guess should be interesting to talk about the store. It's pretty much exclusively. At first, anyway, why Alex was hired, and Alex and I were both hired in 2013. So
that's true.
We're new.
Well,
technically.
We'll let Josh kick it off because he's the one that's been neck deep in the store. So.
Well, and Chad's the one that opened the door to the store. So it's a blessing. The store came by, I guess we can say necessity. It would be the safest way to say it. I approached Chad back before the year was over and said, Chad, I really, really want to work full time into Flight Test. And the sad thing is when you have something running where it's a part-time job, it's very hard to give up a full-time job. And Chad was very gracious. He said, absolutely. He says, we just need to develop a business plan that can make that happen. And I was so grateful for that. So out came the idea of the store. And that was honestly from you guys. We had the swappables mm-hmm. were kind of along the ways. I think, what was it, the baby blender? Was released, the old Bloody Wonder, the Nutball, the Delta, and the FT Flyer.
Oh, but, you mean already had been released.
Yeah, and old Fogey,
FT
Flyer.
Yeah.
There was a lot of them that were released, even the FT-3D.
You're just talking the free plans.
Yeah, just the free plans.
And the original episode.
And originally the whole goal was just to have them always be just free plans, but there was a lot of dads, a lot of people email and say, look, I don't have access to your foam, or I don't want to have my kid using a razor blade to cut them out. I'd really love to just throw this thing together, you know, because we see on the build videos when all the pieces are cut out, it's a lot quicker. So we just took the large amount of people that were asking for that, and we said, let's go ahead and give this a shot, and that's their way of supporting Flight Test and AKA me being here full time. So I gave up my job working as a painter of Corvette parts And it's been a blessing ever since. What an amazing response you guys gave us from day one of that store opening. It's just been incredible. Because when the store opened, we had, what, three or four things? Shirts, stickers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we actually had the store open like a year or something selling T-shirts. But it was a trickle. So we kind of I guess I didn't really expect many sales to come through because we didn't sell a ton of T-shirts. Yeah. But apparently foam airplanes are much more popular than T-shirts.
Well, and that gave the foothold for the great, you know, things like Rotor Bones and other, you know, ventures. And the wonderful thing is you guys, wonderful, the viewers are driving what they want to see in the store, what they want to see sold on the store. So it makes our job really easy. All we have to do is listen to your requests and try to make it happen.
Well, I got to say, I didn't think that I would be able to fret over cut wood and wood dowels and as much as I did on the first release for the bat bone and those things, because they're simple designs, but they're I was really nervous about all of that. So even from the first release of the three pack that we did to the rotor bones and the things.
The rotor
that
bones release is probably the most intense release that we've ever had. We added like 14 products to the store.
Yeah, there's a lot of little bits and pieces, and so I remember that as being a very stressful moment for me.
Well, and the neat thing is the stressful moments that we had with the store is what brought Alex into the picture and really made our life a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
So he came in and immediately, Alex, what time were you working when we first hired you? Because there wasn't enough time in the workday. What time would you come
in? I was working, when I first started, I was working like noon or 1 to like 8 or 9.
Yeah, and sometimes he would stay later just to stay up with orders. And then when he wasn't doing that, he was also designing the cards and doing the graphic stuff for the website and also the store and the
sometimes
cards.
Sometimes both at the same time, too.
Yeah, he was a very busy guy.
And that was in a single car garage.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, too. Is
that's right.
Flight test headquarters, I guess you could call it, has changed. I guess three times in 2013, started at Chad's, and then once the store got going, then we moved to the basement of Stonecap, which is a single car garage with a, which...
For the product line.
Yeah. Which the laser cutter took up most of the real estate in there.
Definitely.
Do you remember the propane heater? We there wasn't really a very efficient source of heat, so we had this propane heater down there, and we would fire that sucker up and close the garage door, and we would wait till the very last minute that we absolutely had to open that door because we wanted to keep that heat in there.
Yeah, it's a good thing fire marshal never came by that way. Once we got like...
Let's hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Foam scraps and propane heater.
Yeah. Laser cutter.
In laser cutter.
As a matter of fact, Austin, in the show notes, can you do a lot of, I think, because we have quite a few pictures of us unloading foam into that garage and stuff. Can you put that in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, it was an amazing
As long
journey.
As somebody gets them to me. That's all I ask.
I think we can do that. I think you post on Facebook a couple different times.
Yes. I have a really good picture just like looking in. It's just like this brick wall with like a square hole in it.
And a bunch of people in there with foam.
Just boxes, cardboard boxes, foam boxes. It's amazing how fast three pallets of foam can fill up a single car garage.
It's incredible. And actually, the truck couldn't back up, so what we'd have to do is we'd have to meet the truck by the street, and then we'd grab like either three or four boxes or have a dolly, and we would load it up and then run back and forth and back and forth. And it was really humorous. And also, I want to give a huge shout-out to my wonderful wife. I worked painting Corvettes. It was a very lucrative, successful job. She had the trust and faith to let me unplug from that security and try flight tests. And she went a step beyond that. She actually came in and helped design the workflow, helped get the day-to-day routines established, and also, frankly, clean. I'm a slob. I'm a horrible, horrible slob. And
I can attest to that.
Yes, everyone here can. And she brought a sense of order and direction there. And to this day, you know, she still comes in three or four times a week and helps ship. She's a real blessing to the store and flight test.
Yes, and thank you, Jen. She cleans this place without anybody asking.
When it comes, the smell of Lysol when you walk in, it makes you want to cry. Because boys are gross. All right, moving on.
So most people I don't know if most people would know this or not, but Josh, you technically weren't full time at flight tests till what would have been February.
It would have been January 1 of 2013 was when I officially was done with painting. and I moved on over. It was probably, what do you think, Chad, about a month and a half transition from when I turned in my resignation? Because the painting was a family business, so you had to be really careful to do that. Luckily, I had an amazing gentleman. He listens to this podcast, Phil Wilson. Love you, brother. We trained him up. He was my right-hand man there, and he's still painting there, and it was a really good transition. But, yeah, I wasn't technically full-time until January 1.
That's very cool.
I told Phil I would give him a shout-out sometimes, so I just worked that in. I hope
there
it's
you
okay.
go. Worked it in.
Yeah, I know Phil, too. I like Phil.
He's such a laid-back guy. He's honestly like an Alex with less awesome hair.
Sorry he said that, Phil.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The truth is the truth, okay? So, he's the only one that can actually probably grow long hair in this building. So,
so moving forward with the store or in the future, you know, we listen to you guys. We want to hear what you guys want. I think all of the products that are there have to do with our experience of interacting with everyone. So just know that the products that we have are because of you guys and the input that we get. So we want to hear that.
You guys are driving the ship on that one, and we thank you for it.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to release products when that's what people are asking for, or when you can respond directly to what people want or what people request. Then it's it makes the process a lot more streamlined, and
I think a lot
more fun too.
Yeah, it takes the fear out of it because you know you're meeting a request, and even if it's from a few people, you know that there's a foundation there.
Sure.
And it's really exciting because instead of like, oh, I hope this will hit this dynamic, you can throw all that out the window, and it's like, hey, Billy wants this, or this dad said it'd be really cool to do this with his son.
Yeah. The interesting thing is all the products in the store sell fairly equally. I mean, there's obviously popular items, but there's, I asked Josh the other day, are there any things that we're going to retire? And he's like, no, everything's selling. So it's really odd to me that, you know, you can open a store with as many products as we have and everything be selling worthwhile. So thank you guys. So I think that's a testament to say we are listening and we are making and selling the products people want. Also, I don't want to forget Anna.
Yes, true.
Austin.
I can't gush about your wife. That's not my wife.
So you want to talk about your wife's role in the store?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really remember what month she started. I guess that would have been 3 months ago, maybe.
Probably about
like
3 months ago, yeah.
My wife.
Definitely a perfect time.
Yeah, but basically, Josh was kind of looking for somebody else to kind of help out with shipping and fulfillment and just kind of figuring out how to manage the store wackiness. And so Anna was up for the
wackiness. I like that. That's a good one.
Store is a little bit wacky. I think we can all agree on that. But so she worked as a barista at Starbucks for about a year and a half. And decided to come to Flight Test, and we actually drove together today to work, which
that was
is like
amazing.
To the listeners, that's no big deal. But
that's like twice in 3 months that we've driven together, and we work in the same building. So, yeah
she has been a real blessing, and also you guys are probably seeing a common theme here: wives getting hired. There's a really good reason for that. It's because guys, we're kind of all riddled with ADD.
Yeah.
And the second there's a plane to go test fly, or there's a new product, or someone ships us something really cool,
new idea to talk about,
we have ultimate squirrel moments. We're like, whoop, gone. Where the ladies are just steadfast. They do not stop. They just keep plugging away. And, you know, all the different things that are going on, all the different distractions, nothing would get done without the ladies staying consistent. And speaking of the ladies, a lot of them apparently are walking in now.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many people are here? Yeah, doors open and close like 18 times.
But there's a value to having someone in the company that isn't easily distracted by a piece of white foam flying through the air.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a good thing.
So I don't know. Did we cover the store?
I think so. We didn't talk about future hopes and goals.
Well, other than we want to keep developing and what they want.
We're up to 13 kits, planes now, I think.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 kits.
Right.
With the 3-pack.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
But we have two already in the works on the way, which are going to be cool a little bit.
Oh, boy.
A little bit of a different direction.
And then the stickers. We don't have the stickers released yet, do we?
Not yet.
So that'll probably be
first of the year.
Okay.
Is what I think we were thinking.
So so like tomorrow?
Or 2 days. 2 days from now.
Yeah, actually, if you're listening to this now, then they'll be
there. They're on there.
Right?
Yes. Or wait, well.
Oh, no, because it's coming out today.
Oh, it's going out today?
Yeah, we got
this. This is real time.
So talk about another first. We're recording a podcast and releasing it on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how about that?
And it wasn't by plan. It was by necessity.
Yeah. I was trying to make it sound like we'd done something on purpose. But
we had a meeting. We talked about procrastinating and getting behind and everything else. And no.
Wow. Okay, so.
Well, I have a couple product-based voicemails to play based on the store. Do we want to play those real quick?
This is my first time working the audio board. David normally does this, but he's still on vacation.
So. Well, we'll see how it goes then. All right, here's a question from Ryan on 2014 products.
All right.
Hi, Flight Test. My name is Ryan Cotton from Asheville, North Carolina. I was wondering if you guys would consider doing a balsa kit because, you know, I like balsa better. Just a thought. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome question. It was Ryan, correct?
Yes.
Awesome question, Ryan. And I think Chad and I are both kind of looking at each other. Yeah, like, yeah.
I would love to get a balsa kit done.
Yes. And the whole idea with the swappables was to take you up in building skill and also flying skill one at a time. And I think it's definitely worthy of starting that journey again with balsa wood. Something very, very simple. And then you learn to be a better builder. And also that would be a trainer. And then it carries you on the lines as the more complicated, obviously, the more advanced of the flight. You'll experience. So I think we can totally hit the reset button on that journey. The challenges are cutting a balsa kit takes a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need and more foam. Lasers. We're going to,
We'll have to put them out in the yard.
And also, put it in the yard. Also, the way that balsa is cut, balsa is not very straight and true, and it comes in long sticks. So to streamline that process, we'll need more lasers, and also the quality of the wood, we'll have to be very careful to make sure it's consistent. But
do we need elves for that?
We may need elves with little tiny hands.
I just envisioned rows of lasers out in the yard.
Ironically, and this is probably talking about something that I remember the vintage multi-rotor.
Yes.
That could very well possibly be
I was
here.
Just thinking about that over the weekend.
It's in my office right now.
Oh, I would love to see that finished.
Yeah. So there's a design we've been...
You started that a year ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember it was just in my basement. I think you were over visiting or something. I was like, oh, yeah, look at this.
And no, you brought it over.
Oh, did I bring it to you? And it's been kind of just sitting there. And it'll get done. But the whole thing is making it repeatable and easy for people to have the same consistent experience, not just... glue a bunch of sticks together how it currently is.
So there you go. Ryan, you asked.
Yes.
And eventually you will receive.
So I have a quick question. Since I think when I started, I think we were releasing the baby blender and the 3-pack maybe. Mm-hmm. Was that the two?
Yeah, well, when I started, the 3-pack was out. And then I think like that my first day, Chad's like, we need to put the plans up for the baby blender.
No.
Can you do that? And I was like, all right. But
he
yeah,
did it.
You got hired shortly after me.
Okay.
And so yeah, baby blender.
So I mean, so that in itself just kind of shows a pretty cool progression. So is the plan for 2014 then to release some sort of new product a month?
We're going to release 10 planes a month.
Okay.
10 planes
perfect.
A month.
That's what I was wondering.
Yes. All of them balsa. honestly, it's still hopefully as our goal is one plane a month and possibly one multi-rotor a month.
Or some kind of component,
kind of component.
Okay. Yeah, the multi-rotors are a little different.
Yeah.
Some people probably might have figured that out already just from the tempo of how we've released things in the past.
Well, and also if there is we're looking in 2014, we don't want to just pop out willy-nilly. We want to be strategic. And like we're doing like the old Speedster was a slow fly because you can fly it indoors. Obviously, it's winter. You don't want to release that. So we're holding back some of the Warbird designs for next spring because we don't want people, you know, selling a plane that they can only fly outside when it's snowy outside. And also, guess what? Foam and snow don't get along. So, you know, we're trying to be strategic.
Especially when they
go
down. You can't find them.
Look at February. Look for the momentum February. We're coming out with a really fun little plane in January that can be both indoor and outdoor. But look for February for that whole push towards outdoor to become more prevalent. Mm-hmm. Can you hear my belly growling? Yeah. Is that pretty evident?
No, I didn't hear it.
By the way, I'm an eater. I eat a lot.
Did you have breakfast?
We're going to move my stomach next time.
Sorry. Is this a little too transparent, isn't it?
No. If you didn't have breakfast, I'd know that we would be losing you in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. First smell of a cinnamon roll, I'm out of here.
Yes. Okay. Do we have other?
We have a couple more voicemails here.
Okay. Stand by. Tell me when you're ready.
Yep.
Hey, how's it going, Flight Test? This is Jonathan Hansen from Alaska. I've gotten a few of my friends to start flying and watching your videos, and we're all excited for the FT Trainer to come out, and we're wondering if it's going to be a bush-style sort of short takeoff and landing style plane with big tires and flaps, and what kind of characteristics that might have. If you can let us know, that'd be great. We're super stoked. And we also want to let you know that we really appreciate the way you guys keep faith involved in what you do, and it really means a lot to us, and we're super encouraged by it. Thank you very much, and continue being awesome.
Wow.
Well, thank you, John. On so many different levels, Jonathan. Thank you. Well, I guess we'll talk about the plane first. Yes, the FT Trainer, and this is one thing I really want to get Josh Scott heavily involved. I want to have a plane created that he really loves. But as far as characteristics I'm hoping for, my favorite trainer when I was growing up was the Senior Telemaster. I also absolutely am crazy about the Multiplex Fun Cub, yes, with its Fowler flaps, its great slow characteristics, and also the old timers. So it's basically going to be a mashup, yes, with the monster tires. Also forwards and backwards, as far as with, you know, what you can add or take away. I want this thing to be able to tow a glider. I want it to be able to add flaps like Fowler flaps. But also, if you just want a simple four channel, it's not a necessity to have a great flight experience. So it's going to hopefully look like a little bit like a Fun Cub, a Senior Telemaster, and some old timer characteristics all smashed together, well powered. But I'm hoping it won't be till probably mid-year, and my hope is that, honestly, Josh Scott can be very integral in testing that and saying, yeah, I like it, no, I don't like it, because he's been amazing. I mean, for a guy that comes in probably every, 2 weeks, mm-hmm, has no flight training between those 2 weeks, and to pick up the controls, he retains that knowledge, and he grows constantly. So I really want this to be something that he can be a heavy part of. As far as the faith comment, God bless you, brother. Thank you. That's who we are, and we appreciate you guys have been so warm, whether you believe in what we say or not, you understand it's just who we are, and you love us for it, and we love you for it. And for the people that may take offense, we love you no matter what. And we thank you guys for your hospitality and the grace you've shown us.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, I still don't understand how people get offended because of our faith or who we are, but
it's,
you know.
Yeah, I don't even worry about, you know, the offensive or why they get offended. It's just basically letting them know that we still care for them, we still value them as who they are. This is the biggest thing on my heart.
Yeah, about the only thing we push on anyone is flight.
Yeah.
Aggressively.
Well, I think sometimes they feel like with the book recommendations, like not a fan and stuff, that we cross the line. But when it blesses you personally, you want to share things that make you a better person. And if people care for what we talk and how we talk and how we act, we want to share the resources, you know, that we have used to make us better.
Mm-hmm.
And also just wanted to comment on, well, earlier, Chad joked about, you know, releasing like 10 planes a month, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that was a joke, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about the FT Trainer for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to point out that just because we talk about something and then don't release it the next month,
yeah,
doesn't mean we've forgotten about it. It just,
yeah,
means that there's only so many months and you can only release so many products each month that, you know, we haven't forgotten about the FT Trainer. We haven't forgotten about other things we've talked about in the show. There's just a unestablished schedule that has, yeah, those things in the future.
If we could only share the process of the release juggle of the podcast, the shows, the planes, the reviews, it is just a constant juggle. There is no master schedule that, you know, gets locked in.
We have a master one, we just never listen to it.
Or it's constantly moving. It's,
yeah,
fluid.
How, so, many arrows, I guess, are pointing down or moving things?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're moving. I mean, everything is moving.
Yeah.
And also, there's, you know, to get a plane or a multi-rotor or anything designed and out, what happens is 90% of it gets done very quickly. And then that last 10% is all the little, you know, things to button it up and just make sure and test flying and yeah, even getting the cards printed up and the photos and all of that.
That's our chance to gush on this man to my left, or Chad, you're right. Alex is the key.
Nobody can see that, so that's Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex, he came at the perfect time into the flight test family because the logistical things. Remember originally in chat, I was like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and release 5 planes at once.
Yeah.
That's how ignorant I was about the realities of life.
Well, I was ignorant, too, because when you said it, I'm like, well, I don't know. Now I'd be like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. We look at one plane a month. But Alex, like, all the different things that fall through the cracks, Alex has to catch, and then he has to perfect, and then he has to put it on the store. And he basically is constantly looking at all the things that we're just kind of overlooking and addressing them, and he does a great job. And the fact that things do hit deadlines and do come out in the way they do is, he's the final man that makes that happen.
Wasn't it November that we did release 3 planes? I think it was November.
When we did our one-time sale.
What was it? The glider, what
the
else?
The glider, Old Fogey, and the Old Speedster,
oh,
along
right.
along with the Share the Hobby sale. So.
Well, technically, the Old Fogey already existed.
We call that a soft
start. Yeah, but it added it to the store, Speed Build Kit.
Yeah, so. that was pretty crazy.
Which requires a lot of work from Alex, but not necessarily anybody
else. and the ladies, too, Jen and Anna. I think that may have been when Jen, the second Jen, your
Yes, my sister-in-law
sister.
Also yeah. comes in and helps us out a lot,
She's
too.
Awesome, too.
Yeah, so yes. anybody that wants to work here, you have to be a blood relation.
or married
yeah. into the family.
We're yeah. working on Alex right now. We're like, you know, we need another employee. You got to get married now.
So, time will tell.
No, that's because they can't kill us without, you know, there's an invested interest.
Ah,
you know?
That's true.
That's a good point.
And we need that, yeah.
I overlooked that.
There
yeah.
can't be workplace homicide. Just willy-nilly. There's consequences. Well, I think that we should probably segue to talking about the show and changes that occurred to that in 2013. I don't know. Is everybody happy with the store? I think we covered
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think we covered it. So I think a good way to segue, I'm pretty sure this is a related voicemail. I didn't make very good notes on it, but we'll see if it segues into talking about the show. So here we go.
Hello, Flight Test crew. My name is Alexander Isaac, and I'm from Hillsboro, Oregon. Just before I ask my question, I just want to say what you guys are doing is just amazing. Everything you I watch your videos and I share them with my friends, and I've had two friends already that have started just because of you guys, and what you guys do is just amazing. And God bless you guys, really. I know so many people who just really appreciate it, and we want to help you guys and kind of do what you're doing, help expand the RC hobby, the RC society, and bring it to other friends. And I was just wondering if you guys could talk about how to expand and how to help others learn about the hobby in your next podcast. That would really be great. Okay, thank you so much, guys, and continue with the great work. See you later.
Wow, that was pretty awesome.
Thank you, Alex.
I was blushing.
Honestly, Alex, man, thank you. You're doing them already. The fact that you value the content's great, but you're sharing it. And just like anything that someone's passionate about, you can't show your passion unless you share it. And you're doing that, brother. So thank you. You are growing the hobby. And honestly, the people like you that are sharing it, trying to get other people into it and also build relationships with them is what makes this hobby truly so special. So, brother, you're my hero.
Well, yeah, and I would say the I don't know. I probably view this as the most important step of growing the hobby is the response. So sharing it is step one, but how do you respond to people when they have difficulties or if they're down or, you know, they crash and they're, you know, they're what word am I looking for when they're kind of distraught or
overwhelmed? Very overwhelming.
It's a weird hobby because it's you have your high highs and your extremely low lows, because when you go out and crash for the first time, I mean, it can be $100 plane and it might as well be $1 million plane. It just makes you feel horrible. So I think it's really important that we, you know, we lift those people up, that we inspire them and say, hey, it's okay, help them get back up in the air over and over. And then after you do that enough, it does something. It does something really positive. So,
and the neatest thing is I'm yet to see another. I know there's other things out there, but this is one of the greatest ways to build relationships, because like you said, Chad, you get to be there in their great moments and also their down moments. And that's why I'm always talking about fathers and sons working together, because the conversations that come out of even a bad experience can really bless you. And by the way, once again, Max is in the office.
probably chaos. May have heard him scratching at the door.
He is a diva, you know, with fur.
Of the highest level.
Yeah, he realized that his claim to fame was not taken. We have taken off his collar, and that means in 5 minutes he will be coming back for his collar.
Yep, just laid outside.
And he's back for his collar.
And I think that was the perfect response to Alexander's voicemail, just because, I mean, really, he is doing exactly what his question already was, which is, you know, how do I participate more? How do I share the hobby more? And sounds like he's already well on his way if he's sharing it with friends and that sort of thing. And I was hoping that was the voicemail I thought it was, to segue into the talking about the show. But probably one of the things we'll talk about regarding the show is growth. And it's people just like Alexander that I think is the reason why the show has grown as much as it has. is because it's really people grabbing other people and putting their face in front of the computer screen saying, watch this.
The hobby can't grow without building relationships. It's just, it's a fact.
Well, and I'd like to add to it, too. You know, I think it's really important that there's consistency there. You know, don't race forward to, you know, hurry up and share with a bunch of people and then leave them unprepared. Like, I think the important thing is that follow-up, that response to what is their first experience, and then, you know, how can you help them continue that experience? So don't forget that, and, you know, the consistency is really important. So
yeah, no, I totally agree. I just think that well, Alex and I talk about this occasionally. Where was the? We didn't start at the beginning of 2013, but yeah, where was the subscriber count?
Right when we were in March when I started, I think we were like at 32,000 subscribers on YouTube
in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And then I think we were at like 5,000 likes on Facebook or 6,000 likes on Facebook in March.
Okay.
And also, this is a side note, in 2013, Flight Test officially started its first Vine account.
Thank you, Alex.
300 subscribers so far.
Nice. Ooh.
So make sure you check that out.
It's very fancy.
And how many subscribers on YouTube now?
Over 100,000.
Yeah, I think it's like 118 last time I checked.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Since March. So March it was – so the first – 2.5 years got us to 30,000 subscribers, and then the last 6 months we're up over 100,000. So the growth is phenomenal,
and it's all because of you guys.
Yeah,
like people like Alex sharing it with just one or two people, it doesn't seem like much, but that's the reason why it's grown so quick.
Oh, it's a lot. Yeah. So, are we doing another voicemail?
We can. I'm not sure how related to the show directly it is, but let me...
Oh, okay.
I got to say, I really appreciate everyone's grace. You know, we're pretty informal here. I just love honestly just working through this without the stresses.
Oh, yeah, no. So if you hear doors opening and beeps and dogs and clinks and clacks.
Well, let's play one from Dan here.
Okay, stand by. Let me get on the board here. Ready?
Yep.
Hi Flight Test, it's Dan from England. I just wanted to tell you that your content is absolutely amazing and it's great what you're doing for the hobby. I currently fly 4 of your swappables and 2 of your multi-rotors. I've been flying for 15 years and I'm about to turn 20. My father got me into it at the age of 4 and ever since then we've been flying together side by side. But yeah, I completely relate to what Josh says about building friendships and a bond. It's amazing. Keep up the good work, guys. You're doing an amazing job.
Wow. Thank you.
Honestly, I just want to sit here and just blush and not say anything. they're the reason for the success, and they're thanking us for it. And that seems so crazy to me. Thank you, brother.
It's called synergy.
Synergy. I like that. That was truly kind. And yeah, guys, you probably are hopefully by now hearing a common theme. This is a hobby to be enjoyed with other people. You cannot enjoy it in a vacuum. You'll have fun. You'll experiment. You'll create. But the main reward comes when you do it with a loved one or a friend. And you'll just be amazed the memories you make and how long they'll stick with you. I still remember putting the Gentlelady through the trees with a high start when I was about 7. And my dad said, well, let's pick up the pieces and do it again. Those things, you know, impact you and change the way you look at life and change the way you address problems in life. So if you hear that theme and you're thinking they're kind of crazy, just give it a shot. just try to enjoy it. And also, if you're a dad out there and you want to connect with your son, but you're kind of like most dads where they're a little uncomfortable, and how do I relate to them because all these, you know, crazy things in life are going on, this is a great way. You know, grab a crazy piece of foam, a razor blade, and go at it. You'll be amazed what happens.
Or if you're a son and you're looking for something to do with your dad, it works both ways.
Yeah, breaks down a lot of walls. As a matter of fact, the last episode, your dad was flying with you, huh?
Yeah. It's not out yet, but we have an upcoming episode with me and my dad in it. We both crashed into the same tree.
Yeah, were you following each other?
I don't know. We just have similar tendencies when it comes to flying.
Oh, it was awesome. Great, great video. I'm looking forward to people seeing that.
That's great. So do we have... are there more?
That's it for voicemails for the main segment. We'll save the rest for the lightning round Q&A.
Okay, I just want to be prepared on the board here.
Gotcha,
normally David's running.
You're doing a good job. You're on top of it.
Thank you.
I think most of all, we just want to thank the people that have... because when it comes down to... I mean, we've gone from, 5-digit to 6-digit Facebook likes or social media hits. And we've gone from... five-figure to six-figure YouTube subscribers and that sort of thing. But really all that is it's an indication that other people are spreading it.
Yeah.
Because there's really not much we could do on our own to really, you know, reach that many people. But because everybody else is taking a vested interest and bringing other people alongside is really it's really how it grows. And so people that are part of the community, they're going out and finding other really high-quality people that are really interested in something and picking up a hobby or something like that. And just like Chad said, slowly introducing them to the content, not just saying, you know, check out flighttest.com, but really forming relationships and walking them through the steps. And really it's just individual evangelists like that that really help the hobby to grow and really help to, I'd say make the hobby more fun, bring more people into it. So I guess looking ahead to 2014, what do you guys see as changing for the web show? What do you guys see as staying the same? Or what's something that's radically new and incredibly interesting?
Well, I have tons of ideas for the show. A lot of things that I've been wanting to try actually since year one. So I'm hoping I personally can get some of this other stuff off my plate to be able to experiment more with the show.
Sure.
One thing is a review style that I can't even describe. I haven't even really shared it with anybody because I don't know how to describe it. I just need to create one and then see how it goes from there and see if we can kind of mimic that style. But what I want to do is get more people involved in the reviews. So we get Alex or Chris Roncaglione or, you know, other people involved in the video reviews. So it's not just on Josh's shoulders having to do the reviews. Because
you know I like everything.
Well, not just that. We have so many different show formats.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff, it's very particular to Josh, David, and sometimes myself. So I'd like to get the community involved more. So we're going to start here, you know, on the premise and get other people involved and then hopefully get more viewers or audience members involved. I mean, that's a big desire of mine to incorporate them in fun and creative ways.
Wasn't that your whole goal with the flighttest.com, with the article side, is that people would go out and do their own reviews, and that's why the different tabs are reviews, projects, challenges. It mirrors what we do.
Right.
But their hope was that if they would do a review on, say, a new Easy Star product or something, they would post that review and it would be in the same format so people could benefit from their knowledge.
Right. The difficulty is I took for granted the... Or I just made the assumption that people would format it in a way that's consistent or popular or whatever. But the formats are all over the place. So what I want to do is try to provide more support and guide people through formats that are digestive for people so people can either read reviews or watch reviews and... they're kind of standardized. Even us, I mean, we're not really standardized. I guess I would like to bring more structure to the show, but that doesn't mean that it would be less. It'll actually be more creative through that structure. So that's my desire for the show. So,
cool.
Josh, any?
Well, there's an evident thing, and it breaks my heart, but I'm also eager to see. I don't think it's the end of the story. I think it's just a new chapter. Our favorite Swede, the man who loves to slap me, is going back to Sweden in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because his visa is running out, right?
Well, yeah. I don't want to scare people with that, though. He is going back, but
we're still going to continue.
We have no intent on, David.
He's not getting cut off.
Guess we'll never see him again.
No. It's not that. We're only saying that so people know that if he is less on the show. I mean, I have every intent in going over and doing experiments with him in Sweden.
It comes down to logistically, he's not going to be in the Flight Test headquarters.
Right.
But that does not mean that we're going to be letting go of the relationship and also the incredible value he's brought to Flight Test and the viewers and the community.
Yes, all of us, including David, have an interest in continuing working together.
So that's going to be a definite, I guess it would be a change, would be a good way to say it. It's going to be a change.
Transition.
And that also kind of plays into what I'm talking about. If we can figure out ways to incorporate and include the community, then that helps overcome that distance barrier. Everything from you know, Google Hangouts to maybe people pre-recording things and then us merging that with our content. I'm not sure exactly. We're going to explore that and try some things.
We're going to heavily rely on your input, too, to guide us through this because, frankly, we have an idea in our head and it doesn't work at all, but you guys give us constructive criticism. We listen to it, and it turns into a great success.
Yeah, so. There have been a number of times when we try a show format, and you guys let us know pretty bluntly.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, we don't go back there. The one that was probably the heaviest was the one David did with the Super Cub. It had a very polarized feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I remember
the build
that.
Talk? Is that
yeah,
what it was
he
called?
Did a talk and build where he did like five modifications to the Super Cub LP, and it was... I thought people were going to love it. Like, David and I were really felt strong about it. But there was maybe 100 people that absolutely loved it, and then everybody else is like, don't ever do that again.
Well, I think it was because the key ingredient missing with it was a relationship. It was,
yeah.
was us doing it together.
I think you're right.
It was, yeah. it was, oh, you know, yeah, there was David and I talking about it after the fact, but it was just looking over something that someone did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that... has any place in
yeah, that's true, because there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. You can get that on YouTube everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. What is hard is the environment that's been built, the community that's been yeah. built. So
this hobby is best enjoyed when it's like two buddies out in the backyard doing it.
Right. I agree. So I guess as far as the show goes in the future of the show, I want to try some things, and I want to open the stage to other people. I want to hear from Alex and Chris Roncaglione and Wayne. You know, I want to hear
they're awesome.
What they want to do, what they want to see, and give people a chance. Because bottom line is, we put it out there, the audience doesn't like it, we won't do it again.
Yeah.
So if they like it, we'll keep doing it.
Well, and I think as far one thing that won't change as far as the format is concerned is sometimes I see comments, things to the effect of, you know, why don't you guys, you know, just do reviews? You know, why don't you guys get back to reviews, that sort of thing. But I obviously haven't been here from the beginning, but I don't think the flight test has ever been just about just reviews.
No, we never have.
The three components that we talk about all the time is, you know, education, entertainment, and elevating the hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of our episodes will always feature one or many of those three. And so that's something that you can always expect, regardless of what the particular format is or who you see in the episode. Or that's something that really won't change.
We should actually have a little three scale bar, you know, the entertaining, educating, inspiring.
You're like Jet Moto,
like a needle
that this one's more inspiring. This one's more educational.
That's like comes up with the intro. Like it's a needle that goes. That's
yeah.
pretty funny.
Because the beginner series is highly educational. It's probably not as entertaining.
Yeah.
It would still be inspirational, but it's definitely more educational. And we can even tell when we produce them, they're much more high maintenance. What do I want to say?
They're more stress.
Yeah.
you gotta pay attention more to what you're saying.
Right.
Details.
For reviews,
I can't make up words is what I'm...
Right. Well, you still make up words, but the facts are correct. So
For reviews, it can be...
Yeah.
For reviews can be two pilots, three opinions. But when you're dealing with educational content that people are going to rely on, it has to be
right.
one pilot, one opinion.
Well, yeah. I think that's a real dangerous thing about reviews, too. I like the overviews, and also I like putting these designs or aircraft or what we're using in a setting that we expose it for what it is. If there's a weakness, it's seen, and we show how to overcome it. If there's something great, because anyone – and the sad thing with reviews, when people look at it, well, this is good, but this one thing is bad. That shouldn't kill the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
People can still have an amazing experience, amazing flight. So it's better just to go out and to make a memory on camera and to show it flying in action. Like, look at the what was that Delta that we flew for Horizon?
The Delta Ray. Delta Ray.
Delta Ray. That's it. Wow.
Some kind of sea creature.
Yeah, we honestly were kind of divided about that. And if we did a review in the beginning, we're kind of like, you know, look, the battery, the manual, all this. But then we flew it and the thing flew fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it performed wonderfully. So if we're just going in the structure and the critiques as a review would, that would have had a very poor rating.
Yeah.
But if you fly it and you have fun with it, you realize, yeah, these are drawbacks, but it overcomes them all.
Which that episode's out, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. David even was out flying it after the fact, after the episode, and mm-hmm. he crashed it. a number of times.
Well, he crashed it before the...
Both. He did before and after.
Yeah, he was getting extra shots for it and put a big old camera way, way in front of it. That's why we had those unique camera shots. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the AS3X doesn't like it when there's a big weight in front of it, you know, about 2 feet.
How many cameras have we lost?
The Mobius cameras are cursed.
Yeah. How many did we buy? Two or three?
Three of them, and we have one left.
We have one left.
And that one is cracked in half and taped together.
Yeah.
And this is all in, like, the last month, 2 months?
Yeah, probably less than a month.
Yeah. Is it the problem is that we just lose them completely?
Well, the one Josh hit the tower.
Just following orders.
Well, no, it was great. Like, he did, it was an awesome flight because he was going to go do the tower dive.
Oh, that's being released today, right?
Oh, is it?
I think it is.
It was originally scheduled for today.
And David's guiding him, and he's like, okay, now. And right Josh went immediately when David said now, and it went right into the tower. And what was funny was he recovered a bit, mm-hmm. and it still crashed, but I don't know how much we'll see on the video.
Yeah, the sad thing is it knocked the Mobius off. And unfortunately, we were flying FPV, and I'm not much for airbags FPV, but you guys were having us do low inverted passes.
Right.
And we had some pretty epic low inverted passes.
We lost some good footage.
Amazing footage.
It's still out there in the woods.
Yeah. So. Yeah. When I went over there, it's the woods on a 45-degree incline, and it's a massive area.
Can I give a little advice, too? If you guys have the ability to, paint them fluorescent pink or some
orange,
color that doesn't exist in nature.
Make them beep.
Why haven't we done that already?
I don't know. We moved too fast, and we just... What was holding it on? A piece of Velcro?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's enough.
Like, a piece, not a wrap. Just, like, literally a piece of Velcro stuck to the bottom of it.
I blame the Swede because he's in Sweden.
Yeah.
So in a way, we were asking for
it. Well, and he stuck the Velcro on it.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to see that episode, just look up December 30th, 2013. I think that's coming out today.
Yeah, it should be. Sure.
Hopefully, now that I said it. Josh, I know that you have a new-ish format that we haven't tried yet that High Tech was going to give us an opportunity.
Build, tune, fly. And this is honestly also to address like reviews and everything. These companies make amazing products, and we have got a great response from the Scratch Build episodes. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought, why not take that application, that format, over to actual production aircraft? So say High Tech sends us a Fun Cub.
Yeah.
We go from unboxing it all the way through building it. Now, if there's any issues, we don't just go over, overlook them. We actually
address them. Or be negative about them.
Or be negative. We just show you how to fix them.
Yeah.
And, okay, yeah, well, here's a fit issue, or here's a this issue, or here's a that issue, and here's what we're going to do to fix it. But we don't stop just from, okay, it's ready to maiden. We do it just like our Scratch Builds. We go out and we maiden it. And then we talk about takeoff techniques, flying techniques, what throttle settings, as crews, what the stall character says. Then we bring it in for a landing. So the goal would be that you could buy any of these models that we've done these build, tune, flies on. You could take it home, watch the video, and it obviously will honor the manual. But then it'll go a step further, and we'll take it out, and we'll talk. Okay, yeah, like, Chad, do you remember the Corsair, the Durafly Corsair?
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal plane, but if you jack the throttle immediately and pop it up in the air, it'll stall spin right into the ground.
Well, thank you for pointing that out.
Sorry.
Because I was the one that did
that. Okay, well, here, I'll pick on myself. The GBR3 from Hobby King flew
amazing. To be fair, that was probably my fault. I jacked on the elevator, and it took it right up into a stall.
Most planes will not do that, but the torque, that four-bladed prop, that torque, carried it right over. It had less lift and more motor, and the motor brought it up in the air, not the lift, and that happened. So this will give us an opportunity to talk about things like that where this plane is a warbird. Because it's a warbird, you're going to take it off like a warbird. Or this plane's going to be squirrely because of its short coupled nature. We'll hopefully equip you guys with everything you need to know so you have the best experience possible. And that's hopefully going to be in 2014.
Well, and one of the biggest barriers to purchasing a new RC plane, or really a new anything, is doubt, because you don't know how it's going to act, or you don't know, maybe it's going to be too hard to put together,
don't know how to fly.
I'll get it put together and I won't be able to fly it right, whatever. And so I think that's Josh's idea for a show format that helps eliminate all of that.
Build, tune, fly, BTF, right?
BTF.
Back
to the future. High Tech gave us an opportunity. We're going to be playing with, for those of you that are on the Facebook, you saw the photo of the Warbirds that high-tech Sennas, so we're going to do an episode on that. It's going to be pretty fun.
All right, so. Officially, Max is back. He was upset.
It drives him nuts.
That Josh is in here.
Oh, hold on. Here's I'm taking stuff. A picture.
He may not have his collar, but he did bring his favorite chicken duck. And it's a duck that looks like a chicken.
Or a chicken that looks like a duck.
Yeah, rubber chicken that looks like a duck. But now he's happy, so... What were we talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Episodes or something. But one last thing I did want to talk about was completing the beginner series.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's all done. 10 episodes of how to fly an airplane.
Which much. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Experienced or beginners. We value all feedback. So whether it's YouTube comments or Facebook, let us know. And if you want to see other stuff like multi-rotor, beginner series, for example, or something else, let us know.
Yeah, I think we're definitely doing a multi-rotor beginner series. It's just a matter of when here. But the airplane beginner series had a ton of positive feedback, and we're excited to package that together to have free content for anyone getting into the hobby. And it's a great little 10-part course.
I want to gush over Horizon, too, because this is something they took a big step of faith with us for. This is not something that directly only benefits Horizon. It benefits the hobby. And although it was free content, they had to spend some money to make that happen.
Yes.
And they did so. And they realized the benefit of growing the hobby. And that's exceptional for them to put that investment forward.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank Horizon Hobby, because it is free because they paid for it. So,
right.
So we're really, really happy that they were able to do that. And
No such thing as a free launch. Somebody's paying for it.
Yeah, somebody's paying for it. So it's free to you.
Yeah, right.
It's because Horizon paid for it. So thank them.
Yeah, let them know. And also, if you saw value, then let them know, too, that their investment was well received.
So I guess, the last thing is...
Now my stomach's growling. Did you hear that?
Over the podcast. Hopefully we did. So again, looking ahead to 2014, I guess just as we wrap up comments about the show, we probably will be looking towards more... packaged and segmented content like the beginner series.
Yes.
So we don't know exactly what all those are or what they'll be. We have a feeling that there's been a very high demand for an intro to multi-rotor series, so we'll probably do something with that. But we found that we've really liked, and our audiences, you guys have responded really well to the packaged, seried content. So we'll probably.
And we're still going to do two episodes a week.
Yep. Oh yeah,
I almost said a day.
Well, I would love. I know it sounds crazy, but I would love to do three episodes a week if possible. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but if we can streamline some of the process and templatize some certain things like reviews, I think it would be possible without. Creating extra work for the people that are already got a full workload. The intent is not to create, extra hours of work, but to create more content, and that's going to come through that structure that I talked about.
Sure.
Crazy.
Okay. Well, I guess the last thing I had marked down to talk about was the podcast, which I'm not sure how much we need to rant and rave about that. Since
we already talked about it
on the podcast.
Or wait, which podcast?
So, I mean, the one we're in, just in review of 2013, the podcast is something new that's come up. But we've well surpassed 100,000 downloads so far for the podcast.
Really?
Which
that is awesome.
I haven't kept up with the very latest metrics, but I know it's over that. So that's really, really cool, exciting. And actually, it's interesting because the residual effects of listening to a podcast are actually greater than that of a YouTube video.
Really?
So if you go back, and look at our YouTube videos from the past, like they'll usually get a few hundred views a day or, whatever. But, we consistently get, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but anywhere from 500 to 1,000 downloads a day.
Wow.
On the podcast.
I had no idea.
So that's pretty cool that, our very, very first one, episode one, The Origins of Flight Test, people today are still downloading that and listening to it. So I think that's
nice.
Cool to think about. Well, somebody that just now found Flight Test, they have 9 podcasts to listen to now. So 9 times whatever, 2 hours, an hour, so there's so much content there. I don't know. I just think that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you guys are dedicated.
Yeah, thank you. They're listening through a lot of content.
Yeah.
So,
Make sure you have time to hug your wife and hug your children through all this, okay?
Well, a lot of people are actually a comment I get a lot that a lot of people are using this are commuters to work. And
right.
My wife and I drove a half hour to work this morning. I know there's people that drive a lot.
Did you listen to the podcast?
I did not listen to any podcast, which is really unusual for me. I normally am. But I know there's people that have a lot further commute than that, and listening to something that they really enjoy is a big pick-me-up for a long drive. So do we want to talk about, before we transition to another segment, the guy that sent in a gift for us, for Chad, Josh,
there's,
David?
There's been a couple people have sent some gifts, and one I want to start with is Teddy.
Teddy Coughlin.
Oh, yeah.
A matter of fact, Teddy, there is a nice white layer of snow out there. We're just waiting for it to get
actually,
thick enough.
Can you grab that yellow thing that says Josh Bixler? No. I think that's the...
Is that from Teddy?
Well, it's from last year.
Oh,
is when he sent the instructions. Yeah. I actually just pulled that out because I didn't want to forget it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Teddy has been amazing. He has a similar background to mine, where his father flies full scale and builds full scale as well too.
Here, let's take a photo and I'll send it to Austin.
I think his dad's building a Sopwith Camel kit.
Yeah,
crazy. I've been in contact with him via email and talking back and forth with Teddy. He sent me some pictures.
Yes,
so
yeah, beautiful pictures.
Awesome.
And Teddy, I'm sorry we haven't gotten that on the episode yet. We're waiting for the snow to be the right thickness to for the skis to work properly. But also, he made out of a vintage wing a pretty nifty RC glider.
It has a ultra micro horizon
brick in it.
Brick, yeah.
Yes.
What's that called? The dope? What's the wing?
It's silk and doped.
Silk and doped.
Yeah.
I like just saying
I think actually, truthfully, I think it's tissue paper and dope.
Okay.
Covering on the wings, but yeah, it's quite a work. And truthfully, none of us have the guts. We want to keep it on the wall, the flight test headquarters, where it can be honored properly. So I don't think we'll be flying that one anytime soon. Because if you've seen flight tests, nothing lasts very long when we fly it. And we want this to last long. But the skis we're going to put up. And Teddy, thank you for your support, for your gifts. And it truly touches us. And for all the other people, we've gotten quite a few wonderful gifts sent. If we don't mention you, please know that we receive it. We're thankful. We want to honor you and mention and thank you in person. And unfortunately, we're human. We do let some things fall through the cracks. And we're so sorry for that.
Richard Worcester was the guy who sent us the Christmas gifts,
yes,
which is really cool. Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, he sent us each individual wrapped. Actually, I should go put my Swedish hat on right
now. I got an awesome Swedish hat from him as well, and a sticker and a recipe book, Swedish recipe. Mm-hmm.
And
you know, David's been here how long, and I never got a Swedish recipe book from David.
Yeah,
well, you know what?
Rude.
You didn't get to reap the benefits because we opened up some of it beforehand, but he also sent some cookies, and I think 90% of them are gone.
Oh, cookies?
Not blaming
anyone. I didn't see any cookies.
You know, Alex just kind of had a moment of weakness and he ate them all.
Oh, so, thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
I must have blacked out from all the sugar.
Yeah. Paid no attention why my breath smells like cinnamon.
Anybody else you need to give a shout out to? Well, I know that there's
some written down here from 2013. They didn't necessarily give us gifts, but
they impacted us.
Yeah, yeah. Gifted us with their presence. But I have Trappy from Team Black Sheep, Curtis Youngblood. Curtis Youngblood?
Enterprise.
He has the Stingray collective pitch
Keith
quad.
Keith Brown has been amazing. We had a great time of fellowship with
Keith
him.
Keith gets more tweets out there about us than you two combined.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Bill Blair. What is it, Louis Ritchie?
Yep, Louis Ritchie. He's come to a couple different events.
Well, Bill Blair was the helicopter guy, which we still have an episode that's
it's coming out
still one more.
Next week.
We haven't forgot about it, Bill. What's coming? Tristan Lebezo, which he was at the Horizon.
Tug. Yep.
Yeah, he was at the Horizon, did the glider tow with Josh.
Great
Will
guy.
From Canada with the Airborne Media Pros.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, man? All the high-tech guys, 3D Robotics, which is Pablo, Chris, and Jason.
Yep.
That's about it.
Yeah, also Jeff Cash.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty more.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep up with everyone.
The Fox 8 guys, thank you.
Oh, yeah, the local news station.
We're on the local news twice this year, which is a record.
That's a record.
Yeah. Not for what we flew into either.
Right. No, it was good news.
And the one thing I'm going to be committed to is 2014, we're going to try to do a lot more traveling. We're going to try to get to a lot more events.
Events, yeah.
Hopefully at least 5 a year. But I'm going to try to do a better job writing down the names and documenting that. I'm pretty scatterbrained, and without great people like Austin and Alan, Alex and Chad and them to document it. Nothing gets documented properly.
Just a side note, 2013, the events that we went and saw was the Toledo Expo, which was right kind of in March, Joe Nall, Neat Fair, and then the JR Horizon event. It used to be called JR, but now it's Horizon Indoor event that we just went to. And we also had our first open house here at the shop, which was awesome. We had a great turnout.
So what, four? Is that, or five including the open house?
Yeah, four.
So that's not too bad.
We'll try to do a better job documenting who we met.
I think we left one out. You said Neat.
Toledo? Did you get Toledo by Signals?
Toledo, Joe Nall, Neat, and JR Indoor.
You may have been thinking Seth from a year or two ago.
No, okay, yeah. I can't count. So
anyway, if you guys know of an event that you really want us to attend in 2014, let us know about it, because oftentimes when we don't go to ones is because it's not in the front of our minds, and so they just kind of come and go, and then we realize that we missed it.
Or people ask us, like, the day before.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Also, we
are
going
to... thinking of Huckfest.
Yes.
Huckfest.
Was that...
We didn't go this year. That was last year.
You and I went to Huckfest. Okay. Yeah.
Also, as far as the Flight Test open house, I believe we will be doing another one, hopefully sooner than later, and we'll probably not
during the winter months, unless it's a remote open house, which isn't really an open house.
Yeah. It would be a meet and greet gathering, just fellowship time, really.
Right.
But the cool thing is we want to be able to fly with you and engage you on that level, too.
We'll try to give you more than a week's notice this time, too, because I know last time it was pretty short notice, and we still had an awesome turnout, so thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of comments asking about it, so it's not we definitely haven't forgotten about it or anything. In some cases, we've realized we need to rethink the strategy a little bit for how to do that with flying or getting people to fly. So it may not be here, or if it is here, it may not be flying.
Right.
Yes. So, we have a couple different voicemails to play for episode ideas. And I thought that before we went into the lightning round Q&A, it'd be kind of cool to play episode ideas for next year. So here's the first one from Danny.
Hi, I'm Danny from the UK. Just got an idea for an episode. If you were to blindfold one of the members of Flight Test, do you think you'd be able to guide them from taking off all the way through to landing? Cheers.
That's a pretty funny idea.
Blindfold. I like that. We almost did something like that. Do you remember that?
If we were blindfold.
No, we were putting the tape on the glasses for you.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh Scott was going to guide you
or
something.
Yeah, you were handicapping me.
Yeah.
My depth perception.
But we never ended up... Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
We never ended up doing it. So I guess his question... What was his name?
Danny
from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wondering if we could blindfold somebody and then someone else talk them through the flight. I think that would be a blast.
It would be funny. It'd if
be
nothing
dangerous.
Else.
Yeah.
Well, also be a good testimony. You know, we could use that format to show how durable a plane is.
Or how well it flies.
Or how well it flies or something. Yeah.
If
well,
it flies itself, it'd be a little easier.
It would be kind of funny to have, like, maybe Josh Scott buddy box you. And have you be blindfolded, but him be able to take over. I don't know.
I've always wanted to see multiple receivers in one plane, and each person controls one control surface. So one person's throttle, one person would be elevator, ailerons, and rudder. And you all have to work together to
I like that.
That sounds hilarious.
I read an article on, I believe it was two twin brothers that put on a midday flight demonstration, and exactly what you're talking about. One used aileron and elevator, the other one was throttle and rudder.
Huh.
And they went through a full aerobatic routine.
Sounds like they have an unfair advantage.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Twins.
That whole I think so.
All right, we'll play.
Thank you for the suggestion, though, Danny. That's awesome.
That was great, yeah.
All right, here's the next one. Yep.
Hello, Flight Test. My name is Leo. I'm from the United Kingdom. I'm just wondering whether you could review some products from Opale Power Models, as they do quadcopter reserves, remote control paramotors, and remote control paragliders. It'd be pretty cool. Keep up the good work, and I love the show. Thank you.
I didn't quite catch that. Opale.
Opale? I'm going to try to look it up here.
What was his name?
His name was Leo.
Leo, thank you for the suggestion. We're trying to decipher it now.
Yes. Real time.
What was it, a request for a particular brand?
Yeah, yes. I think it was a request for review or something like that of a certain product. But
sounds like it's a brand that has exceptional quality products.
Opale?
Opel, something like that.
Sorry.
Opel is a car manufacturer.
That's Opel.
Opel?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll jot that down. We'll listen to that.
Yeah. Sorry, we're a little unprepared here.
I'll tell you what, Leo, if you're listening to this and we don't figure it out, sometimes the voicemails are a little hard to decipher just because the audio quality, you know, isn't perfect. So if you would, just leave us a comment in the show notes for this, and we'll...
And proper English is our second language, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Okay, so...
next episode idea.
Want to move to the next one?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Sterling from Houston, Texas. I would like to suggest a topic for a future episode that would appeal to both the kid and scientist in all of us. Could you guys either make an episode or a swappable with a large enough bay inside for a camera, lighting, and an experiment to test the effects of negative Gs, positive Gs, and zero G on said experiment? Thanks for all the hard work making the show, podcast, and site, and I hope to see Flight Test continue to grow far into the distant future.
Do you remember the squirrel plane we were talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
No, Sterling, thank you for the question. That was a great question. So could we build a plane with a compartment that has camera and lighting? Absolutely.
Yeah.
What we do the experiment on, I'm not sure, Jell-O or...
Yeah.
But yeah, we could totally build that.
That sounds pretty... it could be epically good or get us in epic trouble. If you think about what that experiment would be.
Didn't somebody want to see a fish in the air? Was that?
Yeah.
That was last podcast.
That was last podcast.
Like, combine all these ideas together. Squirrel, fish.
Yeah. Right.
Josh has
camera action.
Josh Scott has an amazing tendency to always bring up the squirrel in the air. So, mm-hmm. By the way, we never died. I know some people speculated that in The Apprentice there was a squirrel.
No, there was no,
there
real
was no
squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
There was no squirrel.
It was a fake stunt.
Very cool idea, though. That would also be beneficial for people wanting to do experiments in different environments.
So to do positive, negative, and zero-G experiments, that's pretty crazy. I'm thinking about that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So, could make for a good episode.
Yeah, what would we grow? Viruses?
I'll see what could go wrong.
Do something.
And we've just been flagged.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. Let's jump into the lightning round Q&A. We have a lot of good voicemails to get to. It looks like about an hour in. So let's go ahead and transition to the lightning round Q&A.
Okay, ready?
First question. This is from Richard, and this is a response to episode 8.
Okay.
Hey, Flight Test. I really enjoy your show. Like, it makes my day every single time that it's on. But as I was listening to your podcast, episode 8... And when you guys got the question about what was the most, like, where you could fly FPV if money was not an option, actually, for quite some time, I was thinking that you guys should actually go to Iceland, because already what shots you guys are getting are just outstanding, and I think that if you went there, it would just be breathtaking, because I was there actually over the summer, so... When I was there, I was really saddened that I wish I took my tricopter with me to get some shots. But yeah, just your show's great. Keep doing what you're doing and keep flying, I guess. Also, I really love, like, when you guys have your crashes and how David makes his awesome things. They're really sweet. So thanks.
Hey, thank you, Richard. You know what? The Iceland thing has come back. I've gotten a couple of emails, gentlemen that have been in Iceland, like, you got to come, you got to come. That seems to be a common theme.
Yeah, I think Iceland. Well, Walter Mitty, the movie that just came out, we saw that, and he travels to Iceland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's all these aerial shots, and it looks really amazing.
Unreal.
So yeah, I would absolutely love to go. So let's go. What are we doing next week?
Yeah, right. Check the schedule.
Yes. That's how we plan an event.
I'm sure it's nothing. I mean, what could we possibly be up to?
It's an hour flight.
If they have foam board there, we're good.
All right. This next question is about Josh's battery setup. And this guy's been asking this question for a while, so it's good to get to it. Here we go.
Hello, guys. This is Ali Abdurashid, right next door to you in Wabash, Indiana. Have three questions. When will you guys be doing another night fly or a night FPV flight? And then also, can we see some pictures of Josh Bixler's elaborate battery setup, in which Josh Scott had mentioned in one of the early videos? And then will you guys be having a Google Hangout? It'd be really nice to have a Google Hangout and speak to you in person, you know, for the people who can't get to you guys, or maybe the guys across the pond. That might be interesting. All right, thank you.
Hey, Ali, that sounds. Thank you for the questions here. From what I understood, it was question number one.
Nightfly.
Are we going to have any flying events coming in? Mm-hmm. My elaborate battery setup and that Josh got mentioned, and also final was
Google Hangouts.
I think Google Hangouts, or also we used to do these things before flight tests called Manites, where we'd all get together and build the same plane. We need to do that in a mass scale. Do a Google Hangout environment where we all say build an FT flyer.
We'd have to rent a location for that, but I think it would be worth it.
It would be so much fun. Yeah. And also, you know, a lot of people know what, get the materials in order, get the plans out, you know, everyone can get it order, then we can build it and just interact in that level. But that would be cool. The whole thing with my elaborate battery setup, Flight Test has an amazing safe elaborate battery setup that kind of borders on insane once in a while, depending on how responsible.
Which battery setups are you talking about?
I don't know. I know David is horrified about the way I handle and treat batteries.
Yeah, we don't show you how Josh treats
batteries
because
you don't want to know,
because we don't endorse it.
Yeah, well, honestly, this is an open challenge to any battery company. If you think you have a good battery product that cannot be killed, send it my way. I will test it. And if I can't kill it, I will stand by it and preach it to my
Our recycle bin for batteries is quite full.
Well, ever expanding.
I do it through abuse. David does it through impact.
That's true.
You know, so.
And I would do impact, as I usually kill it on impact.
I get lost in the moment and fly and keep flying. And David does much more beautiful things. And I guess it's either slow death or quick death with fire.
You know, the one quick death that comes to mind with David, and I'm sorry we're off track, but is he and I were out flying on your property, and he did a low swoop by, and he pulled a little more G's than he thought he could, and he slammed into my truck.
Oh, with his tricopter?
With his tricopter.
I was there for that.
It scared the crap out of me because it hit so hard. It didn't hurt anything.
Yeah, I can't believe it didn't dent your truck.
No, no. But the way that he hit it, he kind of grazed it, but it made this loud thump.
Sounded like a real airplane crashed into Josh's truck.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought somebody died.
I thought it was going to be bad. Frankly, if someone was probably to receive that, it would have been some good trauma. But, yeah, there's been really, really crazy bad things. But my elaborate battery setup at home is not elaborate. It's a table in the basement, which, by the way, you should not do. You should have it someplace where you can get it outside quickly with a charger. Luckily, my basement's concrete, so I guess that's okay. But, it's nothing special. The fact that how I treat the batteries is the thing you don't want to repeat. What Chad has here at Flight Test is pretty cool. It's a steel toolbox.
Yeah, it's a metal toolbox.
And then on the lower bin where you have that big cavity, all the wires feed through there and all the batteries are in there. And then there's shelves with discharge batteries and different size batteries above that. I guess that is probably a safety issue, because if one goes and gets the other ones going, it could probably...
Yeah, it'd be nice to have separate compartments for everything. Yeah. And I've seen people build little concrete bunkers, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's just that they get quite extensive.
Yeah, you should always make sure that wherever you charge your batteries, if you're doing it indoors, it's someplace that you're going to be around, not leaving it isolated, and also that you can get the batteries out quickly, and there's a fire extinguisher there. And how many fire extinguishers have we gone through?
Three? Probably, yeah.
I think three. Don't tell the fire marshal.
And yeah, just imagine that your batteries could go up in flames at any moment, and imagine it. And if it looks like it's going to catch something on fire, then do something about it before it catches on fire.
Yeah. So are we officially dispelling the rumor that we have an elaborate battery setup here?
Well, I'm sure we have an elaborate battery setup.
It's just dangerously
it's
elaborate.
It's not one we brag about or encourage. Really.
Well, actually, the battery setup here at the headquarters, it's pretty nice. It's a Husky toolbox with multiple drawers. The way we do it is we have two big drawers for discharge batteries. So when you're done, you throw them in there. And this is all metal, so it's somewhat safe. And then we have, you know, one and two cells all in the top drawer that are charged. Three cell 0 to 1300 milliamps, three cell 1300 and up milliamps, and so on. Four cell, five cell.
And when we go off site, we carry them all. We put them in a metal toolbox inside a battery bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool.
Which I like also, that. Too, I just found out that Walmart actually sells ammo boxes. What kind of ammo boxes were they, Chad?
A 7.62 round. I don't know. They're probably copies. But they're steel metal ammo boxes. Yeah.
So I've been toting my batteries around in that. It's pretty nice. Got a nice handle on it.
It's a little hardcore too.
15. Yeah. I think they're like $15. So check them out at Walmart.
Yeah.
Throw them in a lipo bag and throw them in an ammo box.
Yeah.
So is this the lightning round?
Yeah. You know.
David isn't here to be like lightning.
Okay.
This is very casual. All right, the next couple questions are FPV related, so here we go with Brandon.
Hi, Flight Test. This is Brandon Tenold, YouTube name Sage Hills Pilot from Riva, South Dakota. I'd like to know what you guys think is the most efficient platform for long-range FPV, which gives you the longest flights using a 4,000 milliamp hour battery. If you have any ideas, could you let me know? Thank you. Bye.
I don't know. I'm not a really long distance flyer. I like to get an average flight time because I like to come down and do something
different. The Walrus is cool.
Yeah. But I would have to say the Twin Star is darn efficient if you
is
get
he talking
a good
fixed wing or multi rotor. Did he?
It sounded fixed wing ish.
Oh, okay.
He said, I thought it was multi-rotor. He just said FPV, right?
Yeah. Long range FPV is typically fixed wing, isn't it?
Well, you're probably going to get a longer range out of a fixed wing.
Right.
To a multi-rotor.
Yeah, right. So first step, fixed wing.
I would say the Bixler is probably, you can get a ton of flight time out of the Bixler.
The Bixler, too, has a bigger wing, and you could probably get a 4,000 there, but it'd be pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But truthfully,
David liked the Penguin quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know the length of time, though.
The price for the Penguin and the price for the Bixler 2 or the Bixler 1.1 is pretty different from each other, and I've had great experiences with the Bixlers. I like them.
Which the Bixler's less expensive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the Bixler 2 could carry a 4,000 pretty well.
It could definitely carry it. The spar is better. It's longer, and the wings are bigger, and it glides amazingly well. And the neat thing is when you do weight those things down, they cut through a lot better as well. It gives you a little bit smoother flight, speedier flight. Something of that format. A pusher,
what about the
glider.
FPV equipment? Any recommendations as far as long range? I know David, what does David use now? 1.3?
Oh, as far as the frequency? He bounces around. But for long range, 1.2, 1.3.
The low pass filter.
Yeah, so either 900 or 1.3 would be good for that. As far as the camera, we all use the GoPro. And we fly through the GoPro. I know a lot of people will use separate cameras, which is a little safer because if the battery dies on the GoPro or something, you know, then you have some issues.
We've done a handful of educational videos on long-range FPV that I could probably link up in the notes.
Yeah, that would be good.
But on a day-to-day basis, we don't do a whole lot of long-range FPV here.
Quite honestly, long-range is very boring to me. That's why I like even multi-rotors. I like to fly around things and through things. And a multi-rotor, you can go out in the backyard and fly around your swing set or whatever, and it just makes it more interesting to me. I recorded every flight FPV from three and four years ago. Josh and I were just flying before the show started, I would record every flight. I have hours upon hours upon hours of nothing but horizon. It's up in the air, flying around. And after, 100 flights like that, it's a little more fun to fly closer to the ground.
I think Trappy said it really well. Long range, or maybe it was a Trappy, or was it Alex? Alex Grieve from Ivy Crazy. I think maybe Ivy Crazy.
What'd they say?
Long range is good to test your abilities and your
equipment.
Mm-hmm. But really the fun is down low. It's doing things that you couldn't do in a full-scale aircraft because, frankly, if you mess up, you'd die.
Right. Yeah, so sorry if we don't have a lot of advice for long range. Yeah. We try to learn about it, but we don't. It's not our favorite.
It doesn't show up good on web television.
No.
To put it that way.
And close-in flying is safer. It's less likely to be regulated.
Right.
And,
you can retrieve your plane or whatever when you crash.
Yeah, that's normally the other thing. After losing my Maxi Swift about 2 miles away, I think that kind of deadened it for me.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Next FPV question from Joe.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I'm from upstate New York. I was just wondering, what is the largest distance you've ever flown from yourself using FPV, and what frequency and antennas were you using? Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess we probably should have played both of those.
But yeah, right.
I guess, yeah, ditto, and I think the longest range, would that be where we could control it, or where it was just flying away?
Well, mine was 2 miles.
Yeah. How far away did it exist from you?
Although I was helping David. David and I were working on his space mission, doing some tests, and I think, oh boy, so I'll speak for David there. I think he was... This is pretty crazy, but where the plane went down was 80 miles away from where we were, and we had intermittent control and video. Yeah. So it was – so I don't think it was 80 miles from us when he had control, but that's where it went down. So, yeah. I mean, it was over 50 miles. It was pretty crazy. I was really surprised. And the really funny thing was the signal was actually coming in on my 900 megahertz ground station better than his – 1.2, and he was flying 1.2. So I don't know what was going on or how that happened.
You have a magical ground station, the red one with the bow tie.
Yeah, the red one.
It doesn't. I think honestly, it could be 5.8 or some alien technology.
It does. It picks up every frequency, and I have no idea how or why I built it.
I love your bow tie antenna too. It's so clean and efficient.
I built that the first time I met David from him coming over here. Yeah. He and I went to my basement, started building antennas.
As we discussed in previous podcasts, we eventually will be doing a quote-unquote expert FPV episode. We've done a beginner and intermediate, so the next step will be to talk about some of these more advanced.
Yeah, and I can say the delay in that is the fact that it's changing so rapidly.
Yeah. So what's expert now in a year from now?
2 weeks.
Yeah, if we would have done it a year ago, it would have already been outdated.
Yeah, but intermediate and beginner is pretty consistent.
Yeah, that's still gets you going. Yeah. All right, ready?
All right, yep.
Hey, you guys. Love your show. This is Hugo from Norway. Really interested in the flight industry as a whole, you know, the whole electric thing, how it revolutionized it all. So you guys always talk about it as a hobby, you know, but some of us are really interested in see how, the law plays out. So, my suggestion is that maybe you guys on the podcast or, as much as possible, bring up how the laws are going, the whole FAA thing with Trappy. Keep us up to date on that, because I find that extremely interesting, even for the hobbies. So thank you, guys. Love your show. Bye.
So as I can best summarize the question, can you keep us updated on...
kind of the laws and flight in general.
Right.
So, well, thank you, Hugo, for your question. I think that would be something that if we get a little more into news and current events, that would be really great. I would love to cover stuff like that. So, we will definitely look into it, and I appreciate the suggestion.
Well, also, as time passes, it'll be more will happen. So since we did that Trappy episode, I'm sure not much has changed legislation-wise. So, I think that's definitely going to be a part of the show. And we already kind of do that. What's new in RC is a segment we do most podcasts.
Right.
And what's new at FT is a segment we do in most podcasts.
It'd be nice to incorporate it into the videos as well, though.
That's
to
true.
Do video, you know, a format to where we talk about what's current and what's up, you know, what's going on.
That's a great point. So. Okay, next.
Hey guys, this is Corbin from Walla Walla, Washington. Just wondering if you would have any sort of affiliate link set up. I know that a lot of podcasting shows that I listen to, like how to podcast shows, I guess, those guys use some affiliate links, and it might be against sort of your mission. I understand that, but you gotta, people want to support you back and use or help you guys out, really. And we're going to be spending that money. Like, I'm going to buy that Aurora 9X that Josh Bixler was talking about on the last episode. Just wondering if you're going to ever get some affiliate links or something that you talk about. You know, you say, go get this. It's really cool. Well, talk to that manufacturer and get us some sort of... I mean, it doesn't even need to be discounted. I'd go buy it through you guys even if it was at full price, but use a click-through link on your website to help you guys out and not just be shelling out the dollars to people, you know, help a guy out. Really like what you guys do. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
Sage business advice.
Yes.
From Corbin.
So what was the question from Corbin? Go ahead and rephrase it.
Yeah, the question basically is, are you guys ever going to have some sort of mutually beneficial links with airplane manufacturers, is my guess, is probably what he was talking about.
Or just any equipment.
Yeah, equipment we recommend, that sort of thing. We're essentially, the concept of the affiliate links, for people that aren't familiar, is that Flight Test would get some sort of small percentage or commission in exchange for sending a manufacturer that traffic.
I think our heart is to kind of go the other direction. It's to get a link, but that gives the viewer a discount. Because you guys have supported us, given us the opportunity and the platform, we want to find a way to thank you and provide a value for you. So things like, you know, if there's a certain product that we are really passionate about and we believe in, I'd much rather have a discount go to you of 10% than us get a kickback for that.
Yeah, and I don't think – it's not necessarily one way or the other. You can do both, like a lot of manufacturers. And that's one thing that we're working on. But our primary goal would be to find deals that we can get for our community.
Yeah.
And that's going to come first, because we would make our money from the sponsorships and the exposure to that audience. So, but first and foremost, you know, through our mission, we want to serve our audience and our community. So what we'll do is we look for deals and discounts that we can pass on, which we've already done. And sometimes we post them on Facebook and, you know, there's...
And mostly what I'm looking for is, kind of like Josh and Chad touched on, is mutually beneficial relationships.
Right.
So... for an example, one of those is releasing today in our December 30th episode with Readymade RC. We've worked with them for them to help develop a beginner FPV package.
Mm-hmm.
So they are promoting that package through us, but we're also giving them, giving our audience a discount on that package that's mm-hmm. exclusive to our audience. That's really exciting stuff that we're happy to work on and work on for you guys. And we don't like think that, you know, anybody on our audience, you know, owes us anything because we got them a discount. That's why we're here.
No, not at all.
We're here to...
It's our heart's desire to thank you that way.
And I don't think that as far as what affiliate links are, I don't think we're opposed to them. I can tell you that we would never have an affiliate link for something that we didn't use ourselves or for a product that we didn't believe in. That being said, we recognize that's probably a big opportunity that we're probably missing out on right now. So if you know of a good affiliate program or something that you think we should be participating in, feel free to shoot me an email, austin@flighttest.com. So to answer your question, we're not scouring the web for affiliate programs, but it's not exactly against our mission or our message either. So,
all right. So next.
Next question. Go.
I'm Christian Few from San Francisco. My question is, when you're looking for buying batteries, what should your C rating be? Like, how far above the amp draw of your speed control motor should you be for best performance at the lowest cost possible?
I'm not sure. Did you understand
that
question?
I think so. Good question, brother. You know, I'm going to go back to David's advice, the 80% rule. Say you have a motor that requires 20 amps. You want a battery with a C rating where 80% of that battery's C rating will provide it. So in other words, let's just make life easy. You've got a 1,000 milliamp battery with a 20 C rating. That means that battery can give out a consistent 20 C or 20 amp discharge. Just to play with numbers evenly. And also, the beginner series, during our battery talk, we explain this in pretty good detail. And Austin, I'm sure we'll link this below. But it's good if you have a motor that requires, say, 20 amps, make sure you have a battery that can consistently supply you with 25 amps. But if you don't have a speed control that can consistently supply you with 25 amps, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So it all has to work together. And by all means, if you have any questions, check out that beginner series. It'll answer that, because the last thing you want to do is mismatch your electronics and hurt something. That's what I do.
Gotcha.
True lightning round answer.
Yes. Thank you, Josh.
All right. Next question.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Cody from Texas. And I'm just calling to ask you guys a quick question. My question is, what is your favorite plane of 2013? Not a plane that you've flown your entire life, not your all-time favorite plane, but your favorite plane of 2013 that you have flown. Hope you guys have a great day. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Take care.
Wow, we've been blessed to fly so many of them.
So our favorite plane of 2013, mine was the Knuckle Quad.
There you go.
That's not a plane.
That's not a plane.
What was funny is, as I'm listening to the question, I'm like, I've hardly flown planes in 2013. I've been so focused on multi-rotors I think, you know, that's why I was joking, but that's how I answered, because I seriously look back and it's weird. I've flown just for the show, but as far as personal interest, I haven't flown many planes this year. So,
Alice, you know what? We've been talking a lot. What's your thoughts?
I'd probably say the FT Spitfire. I really like that plane.
Yeah.
And I got one of the original prototypes. I think Josh pieced together the airframe, and then I put electronics in it, and I flew that thing until it was just garbage. It was it wasn't even white foam board anymore. It was like all brown and nasty.
And by the way, his canopy, he had one of the coolest canopies made out of a water bottle. It was an open two-piece canopy, and I remember, it's like, that's really cool. It's open coffee. I was like, yeah, if I had a Spitfire, this is how I'd want to fly. That just goes to the nature of Alex.
It's awesome. And I want to rephrase my, or I want to re-answer mine, because mine would be the scratch-billed Vegan that David built. That thing flew amazing. I've never flown an EDF that was such a puppy dog and flew fast, flew slow. It was so stable. It looked amazing. Great. So that's my pick.
Oh my gosh. You got the RV jet from Range Video. You got, honestly, it's...
Oh, I did fly that one.
Yeah, the RV jet was amazing.
Everyone's changing their answer.
No. Mine's still the Vegan.
Yeah, they're so many awesome. Honestly, the one that I still have, and I don't take many planes home with me, but the one that I've actually kept in one piece and kind of just had fun, I flew it the other day, was the Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good...
But I feel bad because it's a plane that we made in-house that's not available yet, but...
We're going to get
free. Oh, the crap. That's right. Yeah,
that's right. We haven't done a build. And guys, by the way, we do get a lot of emails about that. I want to make it repeatable. Right now, it was just kind of like a project thrown together for a purpose. So I want to make it so it can be repeatable. And if someone does want a kit, that it can be kittable. If I can't do that in a timely manner, we'll do a build video. But just know there'll probably be a second build video of something more refined. Because we recently found out in our FPV episode, the thing is great with multiple cameras and payloads and all that craziness. So... probably the Kraken manufactured. I love the RV jet, the longevity, the way it flew. It was so easy to fly. Oh my gosh, I'm
gonna make
my head explode. Ask which one I like the most.
No, I think the Kraken. I think that one was. I loved watching that one. I didn't get to fly it as much, but I just love how
the differential thrust was a ball.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
In a few years, looking back on 2013, probably the Kraken will jump out the most at you. Probably.
Well, we put an airsoft machine gun on it.
Yeah,
we modified it
to put a toaster on it.
We filled it with lights.
It's done a lot in its short time, but and that's not looking down at the manufacturers, the different products we use from other manufacturers were incredible. Their hearts and what they've done for the hobby humbles me.
Keeps getting better and cheaper.
Yep.
Okay, next. Ready?
Hey, Flight Test. It's Easton Collins from Idaho. Just wondering how you set up the trainer cord, the Spectrum trainer cord, and how you set it up with the DX6i and the DX5e. Thanks. You're doing a great job. Later.
Good question, brother.
That's for you, Josh.
All right. I hope someone else is taking this one.
I'm happy you said DX6i and DX5e. Those are really simple. The key thing is that the master transmitter needs to be turned on. The slave transmitter, which is the one that the trainee is going to hold, needs to always be turned off. When you plug both those cords in the back, and by the way, make sure you have the proper cord. A simple stereo jack may not always work.
I think it actually has three rings on it.
Stereo jack has three instead of one.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get away with it, but if it moves weird,
Just make sure it's the right cable.
It's a cable. And honestly, a lot of different manufacturers make them very economically. Make sure the slave transmitter is turned off. When you plug it in, it's going to power it up, but it will not work if the slave is turned on. And on top of that, if it's something like a DX8 or a DX9 or an 18, you got to actually allow that trainer switch to be activated. So it's just as simple as really just plugging them through. Before you take off, make sure... fly the plane, trim it out. When you land and hook it up, make sure all the throws are the same, but also all the trim settings are the same.
Yeah.
So when you hit that trainer switch, you shouldn't see the tail feathers move when the other pilot has it. And do that all on the ground before you take it off. And it's really easiest if you have an amazing pilot that you're flying with, have him fly it in trainer mode and trim it up perfectly. You can expedite a lot quicker.
Ah, that's a good point.
So, All right.
Next.
Hey, Flight Test. It's Hunter here from New Zealand. I was just wondering if you guys, maybe next summer, if you guys are going to do a review on the two carbon cubs that eFlight has come out with. That would be awesome. And also, just like to thank you guys on an awesome, awesome show. I haven't had enough money for 6 months, and so I've just been you know, watching your show, reading your forums, all your articles and posts, and yeah, you've really put the knowledge into me to get started out. And yeah, we just ordered DX6i for me yesterday. So awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Hunter.
So that's Hunter. He's a Kiwi.
Yeah, he is a Kiwi. Sounded like it.
That's people from New Zealand.
I thought you were saying something salty. Okay.
A Kiwi's a little bird. It looks like a weird chicken.
So So basically, Hunter was wondering if we're ever going to check out the new Carbon Z from
Horizon or E-Flight. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Which is a big boy. It's like... do you know the wingspan? I think it's like 80 inches or so.
Well, there's two of them, isn't there? There's a smaller one and a bigger one.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking the Ultra Micro?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a couple different Carbon Zs now out there. They call them the Bigfoot?
Well, the Carbon Z... Hobby Shop? No, that's 3D Hobby Shop. Okay, the Carbon Z Cub is the big one. I'm pretty sure it's like 76-inch wingspan. They flew it at the Horizon Indoor event. It was pretty awesome.
That thing performed amazing.
Flying knife edge and all inside a dome, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I think this summer we definitely need to get some bigger boys out and have some fun. And that would be a perfect candidate for some really fun projects like glider towing again.
They towed up, two of the KA-8s?
Two KA-8s, you got it.
The Super Cub?
With no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great, and I think it looks like there's quite a bit of value in that package for, I think it's $400.
Yeah.
For a plane that big, ready to fly, it comes with flaps and everything you need.
Nice. So.
Yeah, amazing value. And not picking on the Scimitar, but I would buy one of those any day.
You're picking on the Scimitar.
I'm picking on the Scimitar. I'd buy one of those any day for the price it is compared to the Scimitar. And they're roughly in the same bracket. You get a lot
I don't think the Scimitar, I think it's done.
Last time I saw it, it was for sale for $150.
Wow.
Now, buy that.
Marked down from $350 or whatever.
Buy that because the electronics on it are worth more than that. The electronics were fantastic. And
the electronics are what frankly, I put in the Talon FPV.
Yeah. And the X8.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, frankly, the plane performed pretty amazing. It just the price tag for what it did was not, it didn't take it far enough out.
Yeah.
I other planes that can do the same thing.
So, I guess to answer the question, we would love to review all the Carbon Cubs.
Yeah.
Along with all the planes.
Yes.
And all the metal rotors.
Every plane.
It would be fun, actually, since there's so many different Carbon Cub designs out there, to do a do a comparison.
I have I've tried the Ultra Micro Carbon Cubs, not Carbon Z, but it's just the Ultra Micro, the red one, and it's awesome. I beat the heck out of it, and it works great still.
So this is Luke with a question about tricopter motors.
Luke from North Carolina. I'm 15. I've been in the hobby about 7 years. I was wondering, what are the best tricopter motors? I haven't had much success with the Bell style motors. They tend to cut off on me, but I haven't tried the DT750s. So I was just wondering, do they cut off at all or anything? And what do you think's the best? Thank you.
Well, I think the most versatile are the ones that David likes the best. I've used them as well, are the DT750s. Hmm. But there's a lot of options. I mean, those are the ones that we've just used the most. But the best, I don't know.
What's in yours, Alex?
I'm using Emax motors right now, actually. They're 935 kV.
Mm-hmm.
And I run them on a 4-cell with 9.5 props. Straight props, they're not the slow fly props, and it's kind of similar to David's setup, and it works really well. David, I know, uses NTM motors.
Yeah, I was going to say the NTM motors are solid. Those are really nice motors.
Just remember to order the accessory kit, the prop hub accessory kit.
I don't know why they sell that separate, but the NTM motors themselves are really, really good quality. We tried the SK3 series, which is supposed to be their upper end stuff, and they look nice. I mean, they sound good, everything, but I like the NTM way better.
Well, and you're talking about the DT750s. Dave brought something really to light. If you overprop those, they'll cog. When it has to react too quickly, they'll cog, and you'll lose, timing on one of the motors, and you can have that lockup that you're talking about. So,
well, he wasn't trying the DT750s. Yeah, I
guess that principle would probably carry over by any motor. If you overprop it, or it's not running with the proper props and the proper specs, you can get it to cog and fail on you.
It could be timing as well.
Yeah.
Definitely check your timing on your ESCs if it's, try low, mid, and high, and because that could be what's cutting out. It's hard to say for sure, but DT750s, I think, are a favorite of a lot of people.
Blue Wonders are also great, too.
Oh, yeah.
On a smaller scale. It's like it's kind of like a mini version of the DT-750.
Yeah, almost. The Blue Wonders are great. If it's on a tricopter, it's a little bit, cutting it a little close. Yeah, if you're flying FPV.
Depending on what kind of camera equipment.
Yeah, if you're doing a GoPro on a tricopter, the Blue Wonders are cutting it close.
Yeah.
Also, if you're doing specifically a rotor bone setup, Altitude Hobbies has put together electronics packages for tricopter, quadcopter, and hexcopter. And I won't go through all the specs, but I can link it up in the show notes if you want to look at something that we've setups that we've reviewed and approved.
Sweet tested, sweet approved.
Exactly, sweet tested, sweet approved.
Nice.
Actually, I think he has a review on that page for the package. So I'll link that up in the show notes. But if you want to check out all the specs there, I believe those are Suppo Motors and Simon KESE.
It's on, on the site. Okay, ready?
Yep, next.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Will from Northern California again. I just wanted to see if you guys would do a review or maybe one of your FPV face-off things for the Tech Pod or the Sky Hunter or the Chimera. These all just seem like really neat planes that I've checked out, and I wanted to see what your opinions on them. So, yeah, thanks. Awesome show, and thanks for playing my previous message. That was awesome. Okay, bye.
It's Will, right?
Yep.
Yep, from Northern California.
He's become a regular on the show.
Yeah.
This is his second voicemail.
Yeah, thank you for
the
questions.
Hey, he's the first second voicemail player.
I think so, yeah.
So, guys, if you want to get more than one, just copy Will's format. I think that's great, and I really enjoyed the face-off with the three different planes. I think we need to do more of that. And by all means, emailing and contacting us with different planes, we'll definitely research them and see if we can put that in a show format. But I think there'll be more face-offs, and I think they'll only get better and better with time.
All right. That was fast.
Lightning.
That was our last question.
Oh, great.
Cool.
So I think we need to be wrapping up. We're in over an hour and a half, guys.
Wow.
So are all the other ones. So
yeah.
True to form.
Okay. Well, I personally want to thank everybody for listening and participating in the flight test community. And, again, we are listening, and we want to build this community. So please let us know your thoughts.
Thank you for the amazing 2013, too. We are 2 days away from starting a new year, and because of the grace and the love you guys have shown us, we're going to have many, many more wonderful years to come.
Oh, I think so.
It's a very bright 2014.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, you want to say anything before we leave?
You guys pretty much covered it. Thank you guys for everything. It's awesome to be part of this great community and help contribute to bring you guys some good content, so thank you very much. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
All right. Anything else, Austin?
I guess we'll see everyone next time.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, all.